Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. We are so glad that you're worshiping online with us today. This morning for the message portion of our service, we have the chance to sit down with Pastor Philip and Miss Terry Lee. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
So with a new year, we have a chance just to shake off the previous year and accept what God has planned for us in this new year. So I want to start by sharing with you all a verse that Miss Terry shared with me. It's Isaiah 43:19. It says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And I wanted to start with that just to frame this conversation. Today, I want to talk about new beginnings, new hope in the new year, and maybe even some new beginnings for Pastor Philip and Miss Terry.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what's ahead in the new year for the Lees.
Yeah. So we'll be finishing up our tenure as a senior pastor, and I guess technically first lady is what
I know
she hates
loves that
title. But for Terry and I, it's a change in season. It's a new season for us, a new season of life, new season of ministry. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's kind of it's an excitement about the newness, but it's different and different, even good change, even good differences. You don't really know what you don't know. Right. And so, yeah, to be completely honest, there's a little bit of like, oh, what are we doing?
Right, right.
Yeah.
So do you feel like it's a challenge for you personally to let go of the past, to transition into something new? How are you feeling about that?
Gosh, I think it's a mixed bag. I think I have a lot of excitement looking at the future, a lot of what ifs, what can be. You know, we've got an awful lot of stuff behind us. I've been very nostalgic over the last couple of weeks, just thinking about turning the page on a new, an old calendar and a brand new year in front of us with brand new stuff in front of us. And so I feel a lot of excitement. I don't want to use the word fear or anxiety because God's word talks to us about fear as well as anxiety. But maybe trepidation is a better word. I feel maybe some caution a little bit. It's like looking out at a field and all of the ground is still yet to be plowed. Mm. And that's kind of what I feel like, that we're heading into this new season of newness and freshness. Not quite knowing what it's going to hold, but knowing from the past that God has held us in all of that, anticipating that He's going to continue to do that in the future as well. I'm excited and cautious.
Yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag, but that passage you read, that prophecy from Isaiah 43, it's really interesting if you dig into the context of it, because they're in exile. And Isaiah is saying, God is saying through Isaiah, look, in the past, I rescued you out of Egypt. You were in Egypt. And I did that by parting the waters, and you went through the Red Sea safely. And then I drowned all the armies that were chasing you. But he's like, this new thing I'm doing, same concept, different methodology. And it really, it points to the prophecy of Jesus, a new rescue, a new destruction of your enemies. And so it just, when you were reading that and we're thinking about that mixed bag of emotions, it really is, God is doing something different, but He's still the same God, right? He's still the same God. And so just reminding that He is rescuing, He is redeeming everything, but He's not going to always do it in the same way. Mm-hmm. And I think we both know God's going to continue to allow us to be purposeful, to allow us to be mission-focused and kingdom-focused. That call is, till we take our last breath. And so, but it's just going to be a different season of how God uses us and works in and through us in our individual, but then also collectively, as a couple. Yeah. So, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the power in forward motion? I know our church has experienced amazing growth and forward motion over the past year, and I know we've got example after example. I think about this year of belonging that we have had, and how we started out the year kind of reminding everyone, this isn't a church you just go to. It isn't a church you attend, but it's something that you belong to. And I think our church family has really embraced that challenge. Yeah. We have seen so many new volunteers, whether it's regular serving on a Sunday morning or those one-time special events like Jingle Jam that we just came off of, where we had over 200 volunteers.
Yeah.
I think about this year of incredible generosity.
Wow. Yeah. Refusing to participate in the summer slump. And then right at the end of 2024, which was almost 2025, making up that $100,000 deficit we had because of the hurricane and all of that. And it really has just been amazing. And then for me, I think the image of it really culminated in that this past Thanksgiving, that baptism celebration. It was just this broad mixture of people who were taking that step of faith and publicly professing Jesus as Lord. And yeah, the number of people just that are doing more than just attending on a Sunday morning, but are really beginning to feel like it's a family, right? To really take ownership of not only their individual faith journeys, but to take ownership of their being a part of this family. With family comes responsibilities. And that's why we started off the year focusing on it's a covenant relationship. Mm-hmm. The church is a family built on a covenant relationship. So, yeah, I mean, and really probably the most momentum we've had as a church since COVID, really. Because, you know, that just kind of was changed everything. And then it was just real slow. I remember we had this idea, like, whenever we start back in person after COVID, it's going to just fill up, man. Yeah. People, you know, kind of like it did after 9/11, totally different. Mm-hmm. Just kind of drifted back in, and maybe some new people came. And it was hard. I know it was hard on the staff. It was hard on us to just feel like, where are you, Jesus? Where's the Holy Spirit? Why aren't you moving? It was a desert season, right? 2021, 2022, and even through 2020, parts of 2023. But we really started to see that momentum build. And really, you know, we ended 2025 with incredible momentum as a church.
Definitely. I even think about the outreach trips and how we added domestic trips this summer to North Carolina to help with that hurricane relief effort. Yeah. We saw new people going overseas. We had our second trip to Africa this year. just, you know, a heart for global outreach. And even for those people that couldn't necessarily go on the trip, you talk about that supporting one another and belonging to the family.
Yeah.
People praying for those teams that were going and contributing to their trip. So, yeah, I mean, there are so many different things. But you talked a little bit about that spiritual growth process and that covenant membership process. So what does it look like for our church family after this year of belonging to adopt that forward-looking posture? Miss Terry, you said it. Change is hard. How do we adopt that as a church moving forward?
Yeah, it is. I mean, Paul talks about it in Philippians that we forget what is behind and we press forward, we move forward. So what does that look like in the pressing? For me, is I've already mentioned being nostalgic over the last couple of weeks. I have decided to be intentional about how to press forward in this. And when I think about pressing forward, leaving what is behind, I don't think Paul is talking about having all of a sudden memory loss or a bit of amnesia or dementia setting in. I think what Paul is talking about there and encouraging us to press forward is to be spiritually intentional, to be diligent about setting our focus forward. And for me to do that, I have to do two things. I have to celebrate what has occurred. And I just want to be intentional in this part for you. You don't know I'm going to do this, but I am going to do this. gosh, 27 years. We came in 1999. We wandered into this church that Sunday morning trying to be kind of not noticed, but noticed. We knew that he was here to talk to the deacons and to, you know, come in view of joining Richard and in ministry, and with five little ones, no way that we could hide. They knew exactly who we are as
they knew
we were
exactly.
as we
as That's we, the new
yeah,
people.
And yeah. tramped in and sat down on the front row, and I just think about all that has transpired with our family.
Yeah.
Within and outside the church in the community. And I just want to be intentional about celebrating you right now for just a second, on behalf of our church family and on behalf of our, of the Lee family, to say you have been faithful.
Mm.
So I just want to say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Thank you.
On behalf of the Lees, he has led in what I believe is one of the most difficult seasons in the life of Cedar Creek. In a 2-year, 3-year span, 2018 to 2020, 2021, you led through a season of horrific loss in our family with the loss of our son, the loss of both of your parents, and then COVID hit. And I reminisce about those years and what I saw transpire in your heart and your mind as a point leader. And I'm just so proud, of where you have taken our family, as well as how you've led the church, in a season where there was no playbook. There was no roadmap.
Yeah.
There was no instruction manual. Ask other pastors or point leaders, and they were not sure either of how to lead through COVID. And you did that. And so I just want to push pause to celebrate that for a minute with you and for that to not go unnoticed. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Now your minute's up.
No.
I don't do that.
I'm preaching now. I'm not done. No. But to really celebrate that and to celebrate just the health of the church right now, where we are in the aftermath of all of that. Gosh, that's huge. And Satan just tried his hardest to, I think, cave in the Lee family, knowing that if he could chip away at us in that way, that he would pull us from ministry altogether. And that did not happen. So I celebrate that moment. In that, I believe we have been faithful to the task, and I'm just so thankful to God for his strength and power and being able to do that. And so I celebrate, but at the same time, in pressing forward, I think we also have to recognize that there is a little bit of grief and change. And grief is not necessarily a negative thing. Grief is a necessary thing for us to call it what it is, to say this is hard, to say change is... Gosh, it's good, but it's not good. It's necessary, but oh, I don't want to do it. And to say it's okay for this to feel kind of yuck, but we don't leave it there. We acknowledge what it is, and then we surrender it, and we ask God to use it, and now help us to press forward, not allowing our past to control us, but allowing us to grow us so that we're ready for the future. So for me, pressing forward is celebrating as well as grieving so that we can press forward.
Yeah, I think about one of my favorite quotes from Pastor Rick Warren is, there's no growth without change, and there's no change without pain, right? All change is difficult. It's painful. Even that you go after, that you want to see happen, it's still difficult. And I think when Paul talks about pressing forward, I think the Holy Spirit impresses in me is that you don't coast forward, right? He's not saying ignore everything that happened in the past and just, you know, put your head down and grind forward. But he is saying in this season of a lot of momentum here at Cedar Creek Church, this idea of coasting. It's easy to coast because you work hard to push that thing up the hill. And now you got that forward momentum and you just go, okay, we can rest a minute. But the minute that you rest, you start to come back down. You lose that forward motion. And so I think that's why Paul specifically says, I press on, I press forward, because pressing is work. It's not coasting. And that's my encouragement for us moving into 2025 as a church family, is we got to keep pressing. We're celebrating what God has done. We're remembering his faithfulness. But just like the nation of Israel here, when they, in Isaiah, it's like, what's the new thing, mm-hmm. right? What's the new way? Same God, new way of moving his kingdom forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And originally we were talking about intentional spiritual growth. And that's one of the Pastor Philip-isms I remember from years past. If you're not intentional about your relationship with God, that can also drift. So yeah. You talk about coasting
yeah.
and...
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just one of those many things that I'm going to remember for years to come. Ms. Terry, you mentioned transformation and Pastor Philip during that really hard season. And I know you wanted to share a verse, Romans 12:1-2, and how true change comes from an internal transformation facilitated by the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to find that verse and I'll read it. And then I just want to know more about something you've been going through recently. So Romans 12:1-2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Yeah, I love that verse, and it seems to be a New Year's verse that I travel back to every single year. 2025 has been a long year mm-hmm. for me. It's been a long year. It's been a hard year. Being the founder and executive director of a mental health nonprofit, we opened a new mental health facility this year to support and encourage individuals living with persistent mental health challenges. And it's been a lot of work. We have a phenomenal staff. We have 42 members that are coming now for support and encouragement in this facility. And so it has been phenomenal. But in about September, October, Sam, I started feeling like, oh my goodness, I'm hitting the wall. I am mentally exhausted. Mm-hmm. I'm physically exhausted. It was almost like I was even having trouble just getting my train of thought mm-hmm. to keep going. And so I really was struggling and had just a routine cardiology appointment just to get a pacemaker check on my battery. I've had a pacemaker since 2014 and was expecting it to be a really quick trip to the doctor and back. And all of a sudden, what was supposed to be routine turned into something very unroutine when they recognized I have a dual chamber pacemaker, which means I have a lead in the top part of my heart and a lead in the bottom part of my heart. And they recognized during that appointment that one of the leads was not working appropriately. And so something had to be done. So after a couple of weeks of tossing the ball back and forth and other appointments and stuff, they determined we need to do surgery. We need to put a new pacemaker in, which is not that big a deal. It's mm-hmm. pretty quick. But it's a little bit more crucial that we get the old pacemaker with the old leads out, which is not as simple a task to do.
It's a serious deal. Just tell you from being there in the waiting room talking with the doctor, it's a very, very precise, and it can go wrong.
Yeah.
And it could get really bad really fast.
Well, the leads have to be screwed out. They're kind of delicate in being able to get them out. And what happens is the vessel, the blood vessel can be torn, or the wall of the heart can be torn.
Just a hole in your heart. No big deal.
As those leads are being extracted. So what was supposed to be really simple became very complicated. So I went in on a Monday morning, and leading up to this surgery, my mindset was, well, I got to do it. So I just got to do it. But I really began having this conversation with God in that, God, I don't want to be done yet. You know, I'm seeing me being wheeled into the operating room. The second procedure with extracting the pacemaker was going to have to be done in the open heart surgery suite with an open heart team already there, with me prepped for open heart surgery should I start bleeding, so that they convert immediately to an open heart procedure. And so I could just, as a nurse, I could just push fast forward and see myself going to sleep but not coming out of the OR. Mm-hmm. You know, your mind just runs rampant right. with the possibilities. And so I was just having this dialogue with God saying, God, I don't want to be done. I know I'm fatigued. I know I'm really tired. I actually was at one point looking forward to general anesthesia. Just so that if you're that tired, folks, you need to slow down.
If how many looking, moms yes, have had that thought yes. before?
Thank goodness I get to go to sleep for a little while. But I started having this dialogue with God, but I'm not done yet. And so, Lord, if it is your will, if I can just make it through this surgery fine and wake back up, I have more that I feel yeah. like you want me to do. Mm-hmm. And so I was just having this conversation. Well, obviously, the surgery went great. We know because of the volume of prayer yeah. that went ahead of me and came behind me and having that procedure. But on the second day after I came out of surgery, I was in ICU for a day. And so among all the beeps and all of the sounds and ICU and everything, and at one point everybody had gone home and it was just me in the room with nurses wandering in and out, I was looking over the head of my bed for an extended amount of time. I was having trouble sleeping, so I was just literally staring at the ceiling and read over and over again a sign that I've seen as a nurse yeah. hundreds of times that says simply, call, don't fall. Don't get out of bed by yourself. Call for help. And that's all it said. And I said, yeah, I know. I know what that means. Don't get out of bed or you'll fall. Don't get out of bed or you'll fall. Don't get out of bed or you'll fall. Call for help. Call, don't fall. And then I'm going, okay, God, I hear you. This is another spiritual moment. Where I heard all of a sudden out of this simple sign over my bed, Terry, you're supposed to be calling on me every time before mm-hmm. you get up. Mm-hmm. Every time before you get up. And I was reminded that I needed once again to slow down the pace of my life, to be intentional, yeah. to listen for God. Where he is moving, to follow him where he is moving, not where I'm moving first, mm-hmm. but to see where he is leading and to follow him. And I have just, it was a reset. Mm-hmm. It was a renewal. It was a Romans 12, 1 and 2 moment for me in the quiet of my ICU room that night to call, don't fall. And so now every morning when I wake up, I'm trying to keep that visual image of that sign over my bed in my head mm-hmm. so that I'm calling before my feet even hit the floor now. Mm-hmm. And so that was just kind of a renewal of my mind moment. And I see you, God slows us down for a reason. And that's what I heard from him in that moment. And what I'll carry into the new year from that Romans 12, 1 and 2 verse that I read every single new year. Mm-hmm.
So you got a new physical pacemaker, and then you got a new mental pacemaker.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So taking this verse into the new year, it also reminds me that God is a God of all seasons, and that we can trust his faithfulness during all of these transitions in life. And so, Pastor Philip, how do you find hope in God's unchanging nature and his stability?
Yeah, great question. I think a lot of it, just to be brutally honest, is history. No. Not just what the history that I read about in God's Word and His faithfulness, but just life history, right? That I can look back and they're just stones stacked upon stones of God's faithfulness in our lives. And, you know, that's always kind of been that way. You don't really see where and how God is working and why things are happening the way they do when you're in it, and even sometimes for a long time on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. But I have enough history to be able to look back and see where God was faithful. And that reminds me that, yeah, seasons change and the seasons of life change, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so His faithfulness is a rock. And I know that just it sounds super spiritual and super pastoral, but it's just so true. It's so true. My hope for the future is built on God's faithfulness and His presence, His unrelenting presence. You know, we were talking about walking through the loss of Philip Jr. and continuing to lead the church through that and our family through that, and then losing my parents, which were, they were the rocks of my family. My parents were incredible Christ followers. I have a great legacy, an incredible childhood. And then, you know, that was a huge change. My dad was 93. My mom was 90. Mm-hmm. That's my whole life with them being in it. And so, you know, just kind of recognizing God and then leading through COVID after that, I appreciate the celebration and I'm learning how to accept that. And over the next couple of months, I know I got to get used to that but I hope everybody knows, and I know you know, and I hope that those of you that are part of our church family, that's God. That's not me. At the end of the day, in and of myself, I am a burnout ex-high school football teacher and coach who's a mediocre leader in and of himself, but I have found a desperate need to be in Jesus' presence, to be at His feet through all of this. And I'm reminded of, I think it was Peter and John that get called before the Sanhedrin and, you know, to stop healing in Jesus' name. And it says that these religious leaders marvel because they saw these were ordinary men, but they had spent time with Jesus. And man, if I wasn't going to be cremated, if I was going to be buried and had a headstone, that's what I would want it to say, is he was an ordinary guy who spent time with Jesus. And it's him. I promise you it's not me. And you know the real me, right? Like all the warts, all the weaknesses, all those things that I struggle with. And so anything that you see that is good, that is, you know, praiseworthy, whatever, man, that's just being with Jesus. And I wish, you know, you talk about what would you change. I wish I wouldn't have had to lose a son to experience, to recognize how desperate that is. That's the lesson I wish I could have learned another way, but I didn't. And I'm grateful that I have learned that. And I got to keep pressing into that because, you know, my stress level is going to drop for sure. Right. Because I'm not in the day to day. I'm not dealing with, you know, after my retirement. And maybe that would be the thing I'd ask to be. If you want to pray for me in retirement, it would be pray that I would continue to lean into Jesus. Because my nature is when I'm not stressed, when things are going well, I just lean into me. Mm-hmm. And so I don't mean to sound, you know, put a spiritual spin on everything, but it is spiritual. Mm-hmm. It is a spiritual journey and it's a spiritual battle. And there's no place better to be to walk through whatever's coming in the future than to be at Jesus' feet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't get out of bed until you spent time.
Mm-hmm. And Miss Terry, will you speak a little to seeking God's will in these transitions, trusting His plans?
Yeah, I'd say to you, there's going to be more stress.
Yes. Let me have the dream for a little bit.
Sorry. If we're still breathing, there's going to be stress. And, you know, because God, He wants us to be dependent on Him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're dependent when we're not as comfortable, when we're not as self-reliant. And so I think life is still going to hold a certain amount of angst for us to be able to continually be asking Him for strength and, mm-hmm. and help. And so, I think it will diminish, but I think we're still going to have some.
Be a different kind of stress.
But I am looking forward to that.
Yeah, just
reduction.
Just a little bit, but maybe just for a season.
I mean, I don't know what everybody who's listening, what your year has been like or what our year is getting ready to look like. We may know, like we're looking in a crystal ball, what we think we're going to do in 2026 or what 2026 is going to be like. And in actuality, we may know bits and pieces of it, but we don't know in totality. Yeah. And so what I would urge people to remember, the way I'm going into it, is that I am simply expressing again gratitude for God bringing me this far, for waking me up from that surgery. And now my heart is acknowledging I am not done yet, that I'm here and He still has stuff for us to do, for me to do. And so I'm going into January with the mindset of it being a, and to hang in there with me for a second, a dark, cold month. Mm-hmm. But I mean that in a comforting way. I love the month of January. The busyness of the Christmas holidays is usually past, and our house is a little bit more back to normal. The decorations are packed away, and maybe we've cleaned some of the cobwebs and gotten stuff straight. And so it's quiet. Mm. And so I'm just encouraging all of us to embrace the quiet, and to be purposeful during the month of January, to pray extra, to spend extra time in prayer, reflecting on where God has brought you, the things He's brought you through. Mm. Some of it may have been easy. Some of it may have been horrifically painful and difficult. But then anticipating, God, where do you want to lead me now? Because I don't want to be done yet. Yeah. I want to always, my personality is, I always want to be going with my hair lit on fire.
Amen.
Towards.
I just want like a day off a month, but apparently that's asking for too much.
No, but just, I'm just going to be really purposeful in January about praying. And even a period of fasting, I don't know what I'm going to fast from yet. Maybe chocolate, maybe diet. I don't know yet. But purposefully giving something up that will keep my mind tracking on prayerfully considering God's will for my life during 2026. And not for the entire year, but God, where do you want me today? Where do you want me right now to be working and moving? Who do you want to place along my path that I can care for today? What do you want me to do today? Yeah. And so I just want to encourage everybody, enjoy the cold, dark winter in that it's a warm place when we invite God to be in to our presence and our planning for the next year.
Mm-hmm. That's a good word right there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You should have been the preacher for the last 18 years.
It is encouraging, though, especially, you know, I personally struggle with resolutions. I have made them. I have failed them. Now I just refuse to make them. Mm-hmm. But that's so comforting to think about, just remembering what God has brought you through and seeking His will for what's next, and not necessarily the whole year, but one day at a time. Mm. So as we get ready to return back to in-person worship next week.
Looking forward to that.
What can we look forward to?
Yeah, so this has just kind of laid the groundwork for what we're going to be moving in January. We're just going to be teaching through this concept of transitions, mm-hmm. seasons, and how to faithfully follow Jesus, how to serve in the kingdom, how to grow spiritually in transitions, because everybody's got them. Now, not everybody's got levels of transition that we're about to face. Some of you have even more transition coming. Some of you know about it and are preparing for it. Some of you have no idea there's going to be a transition that you never saw coming. I think for some of you, it may be just another year like the year before. Pretty much everything feels like it stays the same, but you're changing, you're growing. Transitions are a part of life. What is it they say? The only thing that doesn't change is that everything is changing, mm-hmm. right? And so we're all in seasons of transition. Transition's a part of life. There are healthy ways to walk through it, and God's Word is so clear. There are amazing examples of people of faith who walk through transition. So we're going to dig into that concept, talk about transitions in family, seasons with your children, all of that. So I'm really looking forward to doing that series. Mm-hmm. in January and maybe even into a little bit of February. We'll see. But looking forward to that.
Okay. Well, would you mind praying for us as we close up today?
I would love to. So, Lourdes, thank you for the gift of this time together. I thank you for the technology that allows us to gather as a church family, to just encourage one another, but most importantly, be encouraged from the truth of your word. And so I do pray for all those that are joining us, whatever's going on in their life, that you have spoken through your Holy Spirit. You've given them a word of encouragement. Maybe you've given them a challenge, a next step that they could take. Lord, I pray you just continue to move. Your Holy Spirit continue to move in your people called Cedar Creek. And as we pick up tomorrow with back to school, back to life, back to whatever normal is, but back to the routine, that we would be intentional about spending time with you, depending on you, leaning into you, but that we would also be intentional about not just simply belonging to this family called Cedar Creek Church, your family and your kingdom, but we would be intentional about our own spiritual growth, that we would be intentional about taking next steps consistently as we pursue what you've called us to with every breath that we have. So continue to move and work among this amazing family called Cedar Creek Church. And it's in your name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And we will see you back next week in person at 9 or 11 a.m.